From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Barring a stay or a successful appeal or other 11th-hour legal action, there will be no troll fishery for king salmon in southeast Alaska either this summer or winter. The fisheries have been canceled by order of the U.S. District Court of Western Washington on largely procedural grounds stemming from a violation of the Endangered Species Act and the failure of the National Marine Fisheries Service to fully address the impact of Alaska's king salmon trawlers on an endangered population of orcas in Puget Sound called the Southern Resident Killer Whales. No other salmon species or commercial gear group or sport fishery anywhere on the entire Pacific Northwest coast is affected by the order, just commercial trolling for king salmon in southeast Alaska. Heading out every July 1st in search of Alaska's most valuable salmon, also called Chinook, has been an annual ritual across the region since before statehood. Shortly after the court order came down, KCAW's Robert Woolsey met with three trollers to discuss what no king salmon season will mean for them, personally and professionally. Eric Jordan, Jackie Foss, and Jim Moore discuss the practical implications of a summer without Chinook.
The cost of a boat exists whether or not the king salmon fishery happens or not. You have to pull it out of the water. You have to maintain your zincs. There's work that you have to have just to make sure your boat stays fishing. And so that's still happening for us. How we're going to pay for it is less certain.
I'm confident that we're going to have a season. I'm confident that that the king salmon season is going to open July 1st. I feel that we have so much support. Our congressional delegation is working behind the scenes. State of Alaska throwing its full weight into the fight. Alaska Trollers Association, we're co-defendants with the National Marine Fisheries Service in the state of Alaska. And everybody's working pretty hard to make sure that we're out on the water this summer. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. It's a legal court case. And so, you know, different parties hold their cards close. Yeah, I'm confident we're going to go ahead. So I'm planning on going ahead.
I always appreciate sitting next to Jim and his optimism because I don't always go there. The decision last week was a gut punch, and it's fishing is how I can afford to raise my family in Sitka. So it's really affected me in sort of a more existential way. Who are we if we're not fishermen? Who are we if we're not catching king salmon on our boat?
But it's already affected boat values. I just had a survey. My boat, what I would say is a very optimistic estimate, even though I've made improvements since the last survey, has lost about 20% of its value right away. People can't sell their boats. I spent a whole week before this latest decision preparing to sell gear at the fisherman's flea market because I'm getting ready to retire and I have thousands of dollars of really good surplus gear that's basically worthless right now except for the chum troll and coho gear, but thousands of dollars of king salmon plugs and spoons are just basically worthless. Emotionally, I have to call crew and tell them the situation. Some of them who just love fishing king salmon, We do really well chum trolling, and Jim and I helped pioneer that. But I've had crew members cry when I've told them that we're going to go chum fishing instead of king salmon fishing.
You know, it's more of a spiritual problem than a financial one, because, like, fishermen are scrappy people. We will always figure out how to make expenses somehow. It's just we'd be broken in some way doing that, if that makes sense. You know, not catching king salmon has a huge, huge impact to our financial bottom line, 40% of our income. And so there's the argument, like, well, you can find the other 40%. Well, that 40% allows us to make the other 60%. So it's not like you can just make up that amount of income somewhere else on the water or some other fishery. It's really holistic.
There's a miraculous, wondrous thing about catching king salmon and pursuing them all over the coast, from Dixon Entrance, like Jim's fished from Forester Island to Cape Suckling. And the chum troll fishing is not going to save us. It's going to help.
Having fished a long time, I've seen a lot of changes in the fishery. And I have to say that when I bought my first boat, people said, there's no future in it. It's over. It's had its heyday, and it's going down. But I've seen this cycle of boom and bust, optimism, pessimism, several times. And that's one reason why, you know, if we're looking at grief over this court case, I'm in the first stage, denial.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Jim Moore bought his troller in 1970. This summer will mark his 53rd year as a professional salmon fisherman. Eric Jordan wasn't born on a troller, but when he was still an infant, his parents rigged a bunk for him in the cabin of their boat, a 32-foot double-ender named Salty, so he could watch them fish for king salmon through a porthole. Having fished every year since, Jordan is about to turn 73 years old. Jackie Foss doesn't yet have that kind of seniority, but she might one day. She and her husband fish as a family, with their 8 and 10-year-old children on board. These three Sitka-based trollers are typical of the Southeast Alaska fleet. They have exceptional longevity in a difficult profession and a multi-generational investment in their businesses. In part two of Robert Woolsey's conversation with Jordan, Foss, and Moore, they discuss the importance of king salmon to the identity of Alaskan trollers.
Every year the fish, it's exactly the same and nothing alike. You're in the water, you're dragging hooks, but are they going to hit the herring this year? Or is it going to be this spoon? Or is it going to be the spoon that you have buried in there that worked 10 years ago that might work now? It's about the puzzle, and it's about the fact that our entire year really starts July 1. That's our new year. Our whole life is centered around that July 1st opener.
I'm just so blessed to have found a livelihood doing something so interesting and creative. Every single day is different, and it presents a whole new set of problems to solve. You know, I think I'll try that green thing that I used 15 years ago and then have them hit it. You know, that's a tremendous feeling, you know, success.
And it's just like this anticipation and joy and just the puzzle of king salmon, because they could be where they've always been. They could not be there. You could have a 10-fish day. You could have a 300-fish day. A 300-fish day is a feat. 100 is a lot. But just your arms are tired, but you're not tired. A It's hard to come up with the words.
What I said in my deposition on this wild fish conservancy suit, because we handle each fish individually, our connection with them is strong. And we care about them. We respect them. And that comes from my friend Amy Gulick's book captures it well, The Salmon Way in Alaska. From the indigenous origins thousands of years ago, right to the present, we honor these creatures. And in trolling, that especially that offer themselves to us, for us to sustain our bodies with the finest food on earth, but also sustain them by fighting to protect their spawning grounds, their passageways, their lives. And that's what breaks our heart, because we are fighting for them. And now we're being excluded from their harvest.
It's hard to not develop a connection when you are intimately involved with ending a creature's life. And it's not something that anyone takes lightly. And you're right. You are right. You're right there. And it's not easy, but it's good, because you know that you're taking care of the creature quickly, as painlessly as you can. If you're going to take life and you're going to extract a resource and you're going to eat meat, it's really important to do that as respectfully to the creature that you're taking it from as possible.
Let me tell you, there's a lot of grief in the troll fleet, a lot of grief in families, and people need help. So not only do we have to think about making financial arrangements so people can make or delay their payments with the state or CFAB or whoever else, banks, we also need to think about mental health counseling for people who are devastated and don't know how they're going to feed their families, literally.
You know, I'm proud of the product that we produce. This whole battle, court battle with Wild Fish Conservancy, you know, trying to shut down a food-producing industry, you know, without considering that, you know, there's 300 million people right now, not killer whales, 300 million people are starving to death. There's 2 billion people that are food insecure, as they say. And I just feel sick about all of the energy being spent, all of the resources being spent just to try to be able to continue to produce food for people.
Jackie Foss, Jim Moore, and Eric Jordan discussing the role of king salmon in the identity of Southeast Alaska trollers with KCAW's Robert Woolsey.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.